This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry.
The shared memory experience.
And IB efficient. Hello and welcome to HPC Wire Soundbite for July 5th, 2013, available Fridays on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Addison Snell with Intersect 360 Research, joined by Nicole Hemsoth, editor of HPC Wire. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Addison. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks. Well, we had kind of a holiday weekend here in the U.S. I don't know if you're feeling patriotic, but do you also have some news for us?
Well, I do. News obviously has been a little bit slow. We're post-ISC and, again, the American holiday weekend. But I did manage to talk about some existing stories, things that have been developing for a while, including a story of the Pittsburgh Supercomputer Center, where they are testing out some new modes of shared memory system.
Now, this is kind of important because Pittsburgh Supercomputing Center has been a longtime advocate of some of the big shared memory architectures, particularly with the SGI NUMA-based systems.
Right. So they've been longtime SGI customers. Pittsburgh Supercomputer Center is also well known for its data-intensive studies. So they've been one of the few customers, public anyway, that's used the YARC data, the Cray XMT-based graph analytics appliance called Eureka.
The big Eureka systems, and they also, as you said, have the big SGI systems. Their Blacklight system is 4,000 cores and 32 terabytes of shared memory of SGI Altix.
Right, right. So I talked to the center's scientific director, Michael Levine, last week, and we talked a little bit about different ways to tap into shared memory architectures. And he said that for many years at supercomputing shows, he'd seen NumaScale, their Norwegian company, and finally they decided to give them a go. So this is an ongoing experiment. I think they're knee-deep into it now. He didn't give me a lot of details, but I'm sure we're going to be able to share what their experiences were by the end of the year.
Yeah, so NumaScale, one of these companies that endeavors to take distributed memory systems, or clusters, as we would normally call them, and turn them into a shared memory architecture. And there have been a few different approaches to this. Some of them are hardware-based, like a NumaScale, where you put in another interconnect, the NumaConnect interconnect in this case with NumaScale. Some, like ScaleMP, have been software-based, or there's another, symmetric computing, that's software-based, where you're essentially modifying a kernel or doing some sort of extension in order to get the different distributed kernels to talk to each other and share memory.
Right, right. Actually, Michael Levine shared with me some of their experiences with using the software approach to creating shared memory systems, specifically their use of ScaleMP. You know, we talked a little bit about what kinds of latencies are generated when you are doing this sort of thing in software, especially if you're doing it on a large machine. And I think that's kind of a good point. And, you know, on the other hand, the hardware approach, there have been quite a few vendors that have pitched us before, and they don't stay around very long.
Well, I mean, the challenge is latency, exactly as you suggest. The software approach has the benefit of not being the custom hardware, but it does add potentially overhead into a system, and latency is the real limiting factor in how well you can manage shared memory at scale. How long does it take to pass the pointer for the data or access the data in remote memory from a local node?
Right, right. And, you know, speaking of some of the hardware advantages, the NumaScale solution plugs right in via PCIe, and that's great, but right now it only works on AMD systems. So Michael Levine was saying, you know, for them, taking a look at SGI, you know, that's still very relevant for them because they have a lot more flexibility. And I think that's kind of an important factor to note here when we're looking at solutions like this.
Right. So getting back to the headline here, it's the Pittsburgh Supercomputing Center is taking a NumaScale for a test flight here to see how it stacks up, presumably for its applications and its models against some of its larger scale true shared memory machines based on the SGI NumaFlex.
Right, right. And of course, price is going to be an important point here. And we had a good casual conversation about how some of these different services are priced out. And so with something like an SGI where you get it as part of one big package, there's an advantage there. However, you know, if you're seeing massive performance advantages by plugging it right in, there's that. So I can't wait to sit down again with Michael at the end of the year and really go through where the advantages and disadvantages are of this approach.
Right. And, you know, we should talk about the advantages of shared memory in general, of course. The big idea with shared memory is that there are certain classes of problems where your model, your simulation, doesn't decompose well, which is to say that it's difficult to draw a mesh and assign different aspects of the job to different nodes. If you're modeling something like an explosion, it's hard to say, all right, this cell over here is just going to be this part of the explosion, and this cell over there is going to be just that part of the explosion, and then we're going to pass messages back and forth for what they need to worry about from their neighboring nodes. It's a bit of a software challenge to decompose your problem at that level. A shared memory implementation lets you just have one big cell, and you have all of the processors, in theory, working on it in concert, and it opens up other programming models like OpenMP, as opposed to the forced message passing that you get with MPI. Now, that was always the argument when there were more shared memory systems in the world and clusters were just coming onto the scene. In today's environment, most applications have already been written in MPI. So it's a bit different when you're saying the advantage here is you can take all of the MPI out of your code and move it back to a higher performing programming model that will work only on this type of hardware.
Right. The shared memory system vendors, too, have really been trying to push this into commercial and enterprise settings, which is sort of interesting. It sounds, this is one of those cases of HPC filtering down. But I know from covering Datanami type stories, shared memory systems could see a big uptick. Do you agree with that based on some of your research?
I do, in particular with regards to, you hesitate to just throw the term big data around, but larger analytics on large-scale databases that you're looking for loose connections across a large-scale data, especially unstructured data. If you've got a large data set that you're looking for a graph problem in or relationship types of problems, a shared memory, or in this case, shared I/O, shared data type of approach could be beneficial. And here's where you're talking about algorithms that are not well established in a different programming model. People are trying to write these things for the first time. And to do that in shared memory might be easier to do than in a distributed memory architecture.
Well, hence the appliances like the Eureka Graph analytics appliance from Cray, or I should say Yark Data. That's the same concept there.
Absolutely, and we do see a real applicability of that potentially in these big data markets.
So another evergreen type article that I wrote this week in the wake of ISC was on the performance of InfiniBand on the top 500. Now to see that it's you know, experiencing rapid growth is not really a surprise, but I did want to drill down on some of the finer points this week, especially in terms of the reported efficiency of InfiniBand connected systems.
Okay, yeah. Obviously, anytime a top 500 list comes out, a lot of companies want to get in that and do their market share analysis of top 500, which we often point out is not necessarily the same as market share for the entire HPC industry, but is interesting for these top research supercomputers that are reporting to the top 500 list.
Right. So I actually talked this week to Glad Shaner from Mellanox, and on the efficiency front, he told me that it's actually cheaper to build an enterprise data center with InfiniBand over 10 gigabit Ethernet.
How does he get there?
I'm not exactly sure. So let's talk about that a little bit. So if you take a look, for instance, and the article's up on HPC Wire right now, but there's a really great graphic that shows the efficiency comparison on the top 500 with InfiniBand over 10 gigabit Ethernet and Cray systems, and oddly enough, GPUs thrown in there. And I think that this is a kind of noteworthy image.
Yeah, I've seen this chart. The GPU is odd. I have not had this chart presented to me directly, but I think the implication from the way the chart is plotted is that the GPU systems are InfiniBand or Ethernet-enabled systems with GPUs, but we're flagging those as separate because they have lower computational efficiency than the non-accelerated system. So we're taking them out of the equation in order to do a better comparison of InfiniBand computational efficiency to the different flavors of Ethernet and the Cray custom hardware.
Right, right. So Mellanox is saying here, hey, it's not our fault. We blame the GPU.
Right. Well, all the GPU-enabled systems have a lower computational efficiency on average than the non-accelerated system. So take that out of the equation, and then what happens? And what they're showing on the chart is that the InfiniBand interconnected systems tend to have a higher computational efficiency, averaging around 90% or so on LINPACK, than the 10 gigabit Ethernet systems, which are in a pretty much a straight line across about 70%, and the 1 gigabit systems, which tend to cluster around 50%.
Do you find any of this surprising on the efficiency front, especially on the 10 gigabit Ethernet side? Does that seem oddly low to you?
Not really, no. It has to do with how LINPACK works and what parts of the system infrastructure, interconnect, gets stressed by that particular benchmark. It's very bandwidth sensitive, not so much latency sensitive. So you should see the best efficiencies coming from the highest bandwidth interconnects, and therefore you see a big step up as you go from 1 gigabit Ethernet to 10 gigabit Ethernet, and then another step up as you go to InfiniBand in terms of average computational efficiency for LINPACK at scale.
Right, right. I imagine this would be a great slide for Mellanox to shop around to that coveted missing middle and set of enterprise customers that they want to reach with that InfiniBand efficiency and cost savings message. I mean, they have remarkable growth opportunity. I know that they're powering the Azure cloud, for instance. But once they get the storage interconnect piece down, I think that Mellanox has a pretty good story to tell to the commercial sector.
Well, in terms of missing middle, if what you mean is the entry level and mid-range of manufacturing and finding new adopters of HPC that haven't run it before, then I'm not sure that's much of a near-term growth opportunity for anybody. People have asked us what the size of the market for the missing middle is, which is kind of an odd question because by definition it's zero, right? Once anyone buys anything, they're no longer part of the missing middle. They've adopted. What you're talking about is what's the potential to create new customers there, and they're low volume customers to the extent that you do convert them, and they take a long time to grow. So big companies like Intel and HP have been interested in developing that market, but it's going to take years. For InfiniBand, the bigger near term opportunity, I think, is for them to expand their use case. What these slides have shown is that InfiniBand is well established as a leading interconnect for high-performance technical computing system interconnect environments. And what we said last year that continues to hold true is that their near-term growth opportunity is going to be expanded into other use cases, such as a storage interconnect. And then longer term, if they want to continue to grow at this pace, it's not so much about displacing Ethernet, which is hard to do, but rather to see if they can extend out of their traditional high-performance technical computing base and get more into high-performance business computing types of environments, which has started, and then beyond that into enterprise, non-HPC types of data centers, which I think they've got a few success stories for, but it hasn't happened in much volume yet.
Right. You know, and by the time that happens, they might have seen increasing threat from Intel. I mean, right now they're sort of in frenemy status. Right. They're cooperators, but they're also, I think, increasingly competitors.
Well, they're direct competitors in the sense that Intel bought the QLogic InfiniBand line of business. The question would be, how does that manifest into Intel's product line going forward? And if Intel were to, say, incorporate the NIC on chip, That would be a really different business model in terms of competition going forward. It would change the playing field in some case and makes it even more important for Mellanox to establish itself as in terms of more types of interconnects, more types of environments.
Like Gilad told me when we talked, yeah, you know, Intel made some strategic purchases, but you know that's old technology. It's technology from 2008, so. We did have a conversation about that competitiveness, and I should note too that they've had a couple of interesting stories. These came out during ISC, where there's only so much time to cover these, but they've got the GPU Direct technology, and they also
yes.
have acquisitions on the optical networking front that are definitely worth some more consideration.
Well, you have to give Mellanox credit for staying out in front as the best of breed on the InfiniBand space. I mean, they are still the leading interconnect vendor that shows up in our site census surveys because they're picking up all of this interconnect business, all of the InfiniBand business, whereas the Ethernet business tends to be scattered. And as you count it all up, we see more mentions of Mellanox than any other vendor. But more importantly to that future trend, we published in March 2013 what it looked like over the last few years in terms of where InfiniBand shows up in these sites. And we did see a growth in the use of InfiniBand as a not only system interconnect, but also as a storage interconnect, where we're starting to see a jump in how often it appears in both parts of the environment. And I think that's the near-term key for InfiniBand growth. Obviously, that's something we continue to monitor in our site census surveys every year. We also look at the InfiniBand share in big data, which is another potential area for InfiniBand to creep into the enterprise. But that's another survey for another year. In fact, the next one that we're really digging into on our side.
Sounds great. I look forward to your results.
Fantastic, Nicole, and I'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Sounds great. Have a good week.
You too. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite. Got a question or comment? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.